Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jeanette.
And I am Emily.
And a happy new year.
Happy new year, yes.
It is no longer 2020.
Yay.
But I know, I'm very glad that it isn't. But I mean, if you look back on 2020, there's a lot of things that did happen where I am so grateful for.
Absolutely.
I mean, Emily, you got married, so.
I sure did, yeah.
So if you're not grateful for that, I'm concerned.
No, I promise I am.
No, yeah, there's many things to be grateful for, no matter how rough the storm is out there. And everyone needs to remember that. But yeah, we're glad to be back and happy 2021, everyone.
Happy 2021. And since it's a new year, we are now on season two. I say yes. Since it's a new year, but we didn't switch seasons before, but now I feel like it's a good thing to do.
I know. I don't know. This sounded fun. So we're like, all right, let's do it. It's going to be around the same content, obviously.
Right.
Crime and paranormal activity. But maybe we might pull a couple of twists every now and then. So y'all.
I actually know what twist I'm planning on pulling, and I'll go ahead and talk about it.
All right.
I plan on doing more like cold cases or unsolved mysteries. So I actually wanted to, well, I'm going to post a poll on Twitter, but I also want your opinion on what my first case should be. So I'm in between three right now, and it's the Madeline McCann case, the JonBenet Ramsey case, or Jack the Killer. Jack the Ripper. Who is Jack the Killer?
Honestly, oh man,
these all, yeah, there's some big ones.
Okay, but Jack the Ripper, I feel like I've already, oh my goodness, I just stuttered hardcore, sorry y'all. I have always like known who Jack the Ripper is, but I don't know like the details, if that makes sense. So I want to know, like, I don't know. I want to know, like, the stuff behind him, not really just, because, like, you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So, I'm going to vote
terrible.
Him, but, yeah, like, I only, truly only know his name. That's about it, so.
Well, that's fair, and no one really knows his real name, so maybe we'll be able to solve it, like we talked about before.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I think I'm going to try to solve them. Because I remember one case. Mm-hmm. It was the Jeanette case, remember?
Yeah, the Jeanette De Palma.
Yes, and I said I was going to solve it, and I did, so.
I mean, I think it's still a cold case, though. You might want to, like, talk to someone about that.
If I truly did solve it, I should probably go to, like, I don't know, the police or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you should do something about that, rather than being like, I did it.
I'm all, congrats, Jeanette. You did good. Anyways. Yeah, okay. I'm excited.
Yeah, and we're also going to try to do stuff for our Patreon patrons.
Patrons. Yes.
So if you want to go look that up, go look it up. We'll have a link in our description for it.
All right. Jumping into this episode. We technically already recorded it, but here we are.
Yep.
We like recorded it, but it didn't record. So that's why we struggled.
Hardcore. It was very frustrating. Yeah.
But Emily, you're going to act very surprised at everything I say because, you know, why not?
Yes, I have no idea what's happening. I don't know what's coming.
Okay, today's episode is going to be about haunted places in New York State that will scare you silly.
Ooh.
Ew. Okay, so starting off, we're going to have the Palmyra Historical Museum. In 1964, six children and a young mother perished in a fire at this former three residents property. Over the years, museum goers have reported a host of creepy happenings, a smell of ash lingering in the basement, toys flying off the shelves, and the sensation of having one's clothes or hair tugged, and even a phantom feline. Ooh!
Scary.
I know, right?
It was six children, you said? Or was it a mother and six children?
A mother and six children. And it also says a young mother. I don't know the age specifically, but that is very disheartening.
It is.
But yeah, over the years, museum goers have reported host of creepy happenings, a smell of ash lingering in the basement, toys flying off shelves, and the sensation of having one's clothes or hair tugged, and even a phantom feline.
Absolutely not. For the, like, the hair tug? No.
Oh, I know. I would hate to be touched without, like, not by a person, you know, like.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Without consent. They need to.
That too. But.
I mean, the ghosts aren't consenting. It's kind of rude, honestly.
Exactly.
Don't touch my hair.
Oh, side note. These facts and places are from timeout.com. They just give a bunch of little, oh, come visit this place and stuff like that. So I just wanted to cite that source real quick. Anyways, for the second one, Iron Island Museum, it's a church and a funeral home, but is now an institution dedicated to all things supernatural. According to staff, paranormal investigators, they have captured voices, shadows, orbs of light, and other evidence of lingering spirits. Keep your eyes peeled for the specter of military vet Edgar Zernick, whose ashes went unclaimed in the basement for decades.
Oh, no.
Poor Edgar. No wonder why he haunts it.
If it's a funeral home, I feel like it's always haunted. Like, I don't think you could not have a haunted funeral home.
See, that's what I was thinking. I feel like, because it's literally just a house full of dead bodies. Like, a handful of them have to, you know.
They have to be like, this is my final resting place. This is where I am.
All right, number three, the Amityville Horror House.
Ooh, now, I know this one. Yeah. Not just from last time we recorded, too. Like, I know this one.
Yeah, it's the one from, was this an American Horror Story one? Or, I can't remember.
No.
Oh, okay, no. Maybe that one's later. Anyways.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, y'all. Okay, so whether or not you believe the nonfiction book or the franchise of horror films is inspired, there's no doubt that some scary real-life stuff happened in this otherwise charming-looking Dutch colonial-style abode at 112 Ocean Avenue. There's the address, guys. Go look at it. I'm just kidding.
Honestly, that house is really pretty, though.
It is very gorgeous. In the early 70s, a young man murdered by his parents and four siblings in the house. When another family bought the house after the murders, they reported witnessing all sorts of creepy smells and feelings and had unexplainable, ominous visions. The family moved out just 28 days later, and it's still a private residence. So don't be that guy that just takes a photo in front of the abode, serious system, and that's what it says.
I mean,
so don't
okay.
be that person. Just take whatever.
I mean, imagine you live in like a haunted house, and then you just see some like teenagers like come out in front and start taking pictures. Like, I'd be mad.
I would be like, "Come on, dude, again, get off my lawn."
Something about there being a smell just rubs me the absolute wrong way. I hate it.
I know. Imagine just smelling. Something like
I don't want to
gross like ugh
yeah like, no I, gross
it's hard enough that I have to smell my cat's litter box, you know,
right?
I don't want to smell ghosts.
Gross. do you think you would smell it and think, oh, that is a ghost scent? And what do you, like, think it smells like?
I don't know. Honestly, I feel like it depends on the type of ghost, because I feel like a lot of stories and people who have claimed to smell these things all have something different, like the smell of ashes or like the smell of like a cigar. I feel like it depends on whose spirit they're coming in contact with, you know?
That makes sense. Yeah, because I guess like if I were a spirit, I don't think I would smell like a cigar because I've never smoked a cigar.
Exactly. See, if someone who used to love to eat donuts and then they passed away, what if you just smelt like cinnamon sugar donuts? You know, like,
oh dang, I'd be just get hungry. I wouldn't be like, there's a ghost here. I'd be like, ooh.
I know. I'm like, dang it, now I want donuts. Okay, so for the next one, I'm kind of skimming around these because there's a couple of them that are just like kind of cool places, but you can go to this website and look at more of these places. But anyways, the next one is going to be Rolling Hills Asylum. Me and Emily have talked about this before. Asylums are just creepy because they're terrifying. So many, so many insane things that people do to other people in these things. But so it's a decaying asylum with rooms that are arrayed with hospital beds, ratty dolls, and old medical equipment, all amplifying the eerie atmosphere. And on the second floor of the East Wing, you can see shadow people. Hallway lives up to its ominous name. And then it also threw a fun fact, appropriately, the former poor house was a shooting location for American Horror Story. So this one is...
I knew it was kind of early.
Yeah. So basically just like... very eerie setting, and then apparently shadow people. So
love that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would simply get spooked just off of an empty old hospital bed. So
oh no, seriously, there's something so ominous about it, especially older ones, because like you were saying, how they treated them was absolute like garbage.
Oh right, exactly. There's so many medical practices that they used to do that didn't make any sense, that they don't even do now today, which I'm glad.
Yeah.
But it was basically just human torture. Like,
definitely. Oh. It's terrifying.
Right. Next is the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. During weekend tours, kerosene lamps light the way as you're guided through town tales of murder, suicide, corruption, extortion, and insanity that are so terrifying they will leave you shaking among the tombstones. And this is also where the Legend of Sleepy Hollow writer himself lays. Just within like a handful of famous bodies as well. He's definitely one of them that people would know.
Well, if I were to write about like a cemetery, I would definitely want to be buried there. Especially if it's like what makes me like known, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why not? This one is so gorgeous. It's one of the screenshots that I'm going to put as the picture. The Sagamore Bolton Landing. It's a hotel on a private island overlooking Lake George. It sounds great, but it's also a place for relaxation or eternal rest.
Oh!
How creepy.
Terrifying. I don't want to go somewhere that advertise eternal rest.
But you can still rent a room there for around $280 to $600, but you might not be alone. This gorgeous 19th century Victorian resort, stories of ghost sightings are mainly confined to the elegant restaurants, but the Sagamore's most notorious ghost is more likely to be found playing outdoors. About 70 years ago, a small boy who would often sell lost golf balls back to pro shop customers was hit by a car during his search. If you listen very closely, you can still hear him giggling.
Oh, no.
That's so sad. I get, like, really sad about children ghosts, but then I also remember how demons like to pose as children ghosts. So then
you
I'm
need
like,
to do a whole episode on that, or... honestly.
That is true.
Actually, it's terrifying. It's so scary.
Okay, so for the next one, it is Dr. Best House and Medical Exhibit. So the well-preserved doctor's home and office provide curious onlookers with a snapshot of life in the late 1800s. While that's cool and all, it's the collection of crude mid-1600s medical instruments that will send shivers down your spine. Not only that, Dr. Best and his wife and son all died inside of the house. Paranormal investigations have found soaring EVP levels, along with the faint sounds of the Best family and a tinkling piano.
Oh.
I think the piano is probably the creepiest part because, like, you see it in movies, but, like, when would you ever be able to see a piano playing on its own? Like, from a ghost, you know,
in the haunted mansion at Disney.
Okay, but like, listen, that's automatic. Automatic, because there's
what? No, it's real.
Oh yes, yes. but there, I mean, it is a thing to buy a piano that can actually do that for like a store or a hotel or something, just to constantly have music, like live music, being played. But from a ghost, no.
I know that at the Stanley, there was the person who founded the Stanley, his wife, she plays in the concert hall.
Yes.
That's the only other occasion that I can think of, or the only other place that I can think of that has piano. And I don't like it.
It's true. But I want to see it for myself.
I know. Yeah. Like, okay, well, if we go to New York.
Okay. Well,
if you go to New York, this could just be like a bucket list, right?
Ooh, that's so true. This would be so much fun. All right. The next one is another asylum. It is Rolling Hills Asylum. Many died in this old 19th century poorhouse. Some 17,000 bodies are believed to be buried on the premises, almost all in unmarked graves. Opened in 1826 as the Genesee County Poorhouse, the large farmhouse served vagrants by making them work on the farm. It would later be used as an infirmary, orphanage, tuberculosis hospital, and nursing home. Those who have gone on the public and private tours have seen some paranormal activity in the psych ward, morgue, graveyard, and the former bedroom of Roy, an inmate.
Oh, gosh.
Who now haunts visitors as a 7-foot-tall shadow man.
Oh, Roy, I don't like that.
Roy, can you get down? Roy, I don't want you to be 7 feet.
You are so tall, Roy. I don't think that's necessary.
You are so tall, Roy. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I kind of want to meet Roy, but then I don't.
He's very tall. He's a tall man. I don't know if you want to meet Roy.
I mean, he may be tall, but he might be the nicest ghost ever. You don't know.
That's true. You know, I was talking to one of David's and my friends, Elise. Well, you know Elise. I was talking to Elise.
Yeah.
And she was saying, I think we're very much in the same boat as this, that like we are so interested in ghost stuff, but we're so like terrified and like we don't want them to mess with us to where they just like don't mess with us, because I've had like zero ghost experiences, but I am absolutely terrified of them.
That makes sense.
Like, yeah. So shout out to Elise, I guess, because we were talking about this, and they want to go to Salem for for her and her boyfriend's anniversary, which is near Halloween. So they like invited us to go with them as well. And so they were like saying Salem on Halloween. I was like, that sounds terrifying. I kind of don't want to do that. And she was like, yeah, me neither. But also at the same time, I like, absolutely want to do that.
That would be a pretty sick trip, though.
Oh, definitely.
Like, even though it would be spooky, that would be fun.
Only if, you know, Miss Corona allows.
Right, exactly. Oh, my gosh. All right, for the next one, it is New York State Capitol. And it is... So it has ghoulish reports that describe flickering lights, shadowy figures, clocks mysteriously rewinding by 8 minutes, and a dutiful, I can't say words for some reason today. I am so sorry, guys. But it's D-U-T-I-F-U-L. I don't know what that is.
Dutiful?
Dutiful. There we go. Night watchman who still makes his rounds well after expiring in the structure's 1911 fire. During a gratis tour, see if you can spot the hidden devil carved into the wall by a stonecutter.
Oh.
That's creepy.
That is so creepy.
Why did he have to carve a devil? Like, that's just, like, asking for bad juju.
He's just a quirky guy. I don't know.
He said, nobody understands me.
He was like, I'm not like other I don't know what he is, other people. Like, I don't...
He's built different.
He's built different, yes.
Okay, next is the Letchworth Village. In a little hamlet in Rockland County, the state dedicated 2,362 acres to the care of mentally and physically disabled children and adults. Though beautiful to look at, the grounds and buildings were modeled after Thomas Jefferson's Monticello estate. Like many of the state-run facilities for society's most vulnerable members, Letchworth Village quickly gained a reputation for mistreatment. Reports of patients covered in filth and living without clothes, inadequate bedding or food plagued the institution. This is also the place where the very first polio vaccines were tested on young children.
Oh.
The first human trial of vaccine, period. Mm. And while the test was a big success, choosing young children removed from their parents' care seemed like a misstep, to say the least. Today, the buildings on the boys' side remain abandoned and off-limits to the public. But trespassers with no regard for the law have come out spooked by weird sounds, moving objects, and other ghostly activity.
Oh, I mean, okay. That sounds like an absolutely terrible place. I hope that there are ghosts there still scaring people that might be going in there and, like, making a mockery of it.
Right, exactly. There's a lot to unpack from this one, because...
Oh, yeah.
One, like... It was kind of like treated, okay, it's not an asylum, but it reminds me of one, because people were completely being mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also like the first like human trial for vaccines. But why did they do it on children?
Yeah, there's absolutely no telling. Did it say like what race the children were, perchance?
No, it doesn't. Okay. It doesn't specify.
When was polio? That's like a long time ago.
Yeah, that was about. Ooh, I'm not smart. Let me look up when the polio vaccine.
Okay.
Came out. It was, in. Okay, so it came to use in 1955, but it came into commercial use in 1961. So technically, in like the 50s. Yeah. Children received first polio vaccine in history. It was on February 23rd, 1954. Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, there's also a more article. It was Dr. Jonas Salk.
Oh.
Okay, Jonas Salk.
Dr. Kevin Jonas?
Kevin Jonas, that was him. He was alive in 1954, and he just did a human research experiment on children. So,
Kevin Jonas, please don't think that this is serious. You know how big of a listener to our podcast Kevin Jonas.
Yeah, Kevin Jonas, you out there, I'm sorry. We are just joking. We know you would never do that. We love you.
If Kevin Jonas were actually to listen to our podcast, I think I would talk about it for like years. Like, I don't think I would let anyone I ever knew not hear about that.
Yeah, that would be the only thing I ever talked about.
I mean, definitely. Like, thank you, Kevin Jonas. I like how we're only giving credit to Kevin Jonas. There are three other Jonas brothers, but we don't care about them.
We don't only need them.
Only care about Kevin.
Oh, goodness. All right. Moving forward. It definitely wasn't Kevin Jonas. Anywho, next is the Fort William Henry Museum. Though the museum is actually a replica built in the 1950s of the original British stronghold of Lake George, that hasn't stopped the hundreds who died in a massacre from returning to the grounds where they were centuries before. Back in 1757, Fort William Henry was lost when thousands of French soldiers attacked and destroyed the military stronghold during the French and Indian War. Today, you can take a ghost tour, and guests have reported hearing whisperings like hurry up and shadow people appear in visitors' photos. Imagine walking around seeing this old, like, museum and just hearing hurry up, and then you turn around and you're like, what did you say? To the person next to you, and they're like, I didn't say anything. That'd be so creepy.
Definitely. And this is like a place that they built over where it happened, right? That's what you said?
Okay, so it's kind of okay, it was a replica of somewhere like some British stronghold.
Okay.
But even though it was a replica of something like historic, people still died there from a massacre. So it kind of has its own like spookiness going on rather than being like historic, you know, like how probably the one that's British, that one's probably spooky just because it's very old and historic. But this one is spooky because there was a massacre that happened there. So
Okay. See, I heard you say that, but I don't think my brain quite processed that it was two different things.
Oh no,
that it was. Okay, cool.
All right, the next one is a theater. This is also one that you saw a picture of. It is so gorgeous. I'll also post this one on the Instagram. Anyways, it is the Landmark Theater in Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Yeah, there you go. It might seem like a treat to visit this grand former movie palace that brought a cosmopolitan glamour to the city back in the 1920s, but the century-old beauty comes with a price. Ghosts. Look out for Clarissa, an actress who supposedly died falling from the balcony, or Oscar, an old stagehand who might make the lights flicker. So this theater definitely has Clarissa and Oscar just, you know, messing around, pulling people's legs.
Is the theater still in use?
Let me see. Because, like, honestly, the only thing that they give me on this specific article is literally just Clarissa and Oscar, which I understand, but
okay, yeah. Because I'm thinking about how mad I would be if I was in a play and suddenly, like, the lights went out and you're like, Oscar, like, stop. I know.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I found a whole nother article that from landmarktheater.org. It's literally their thing. Yes, they are still showing times and things to see. So I'm guessing they actually had a New Year's event yesterday. Yeah. Well, they were supposed to, I guess, because of COVID, they couldn't. But
Yeah,
and then now they're closed today. But yes, they are still open, and I guess still putting on shows within, you know, range of COVID hours and stuff like that. So.
Right. Yeah, live theater's a lot right now. I feel so badly for people that are in it.
It's so sad. Alrighty. So now we have the Burn Bray Mansion. Once a part of a large estate for the president of this Singer Sewing Company, this Victorian bed and breakfast has frightened more than a few greenhorns. Private ghost hunters and guests alike have sworn to seeing a woman pacing the halls and to hearing unexplained noises, footsteps, and music from an unseen piano. There we go. Another piano. Woohoo!
Oh, boy. I missed it.
The mansion's fall bring-your-own-beer murder mystery dinners serve suspense without as many spooks.
Ooh.
So they definitely created something fun out of this. But, once again, an unseen piano. This one is, like, there's not even a piano. So I feel like that's even spookier. You You hear the piano music playing, but then there's no piano.
Right.
I feel like I would rather see the keys on a piano being played rather than not having a piano at all. But
totally agree. Yeah.
Because then how do they do that?
Yeah, no, I yeah.
How does that even happen? Like, I don't, I simply can't rack, like.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, do they just open their mouth and, like, piano music comes out? Because that does not make any sense.
That would be so creepy, then.
If a ghost just walked up to you, opened its mouth, and suddenly piano started playing.
Yes. I would be like, I don't like this.
Like, I gotta go, actually. I don't want to be
here.
Oh,
look at the time.
Sorry.
Okay, so the next one is Seward House Museum. This pre-Victorian gem, home to four generations of the influential Seward family, is also the site of two attempted murders.
Oh.
True crime. Oh my gosh. I can't say these big words. Aficionados? I don't know. Anyways, true crime can ogle the 153-year-old blood-stained sheets of a brutal but failed assassination attempt on the house's own William Seward.
Whoa.
The Secretary of State under President Lincoln.
Oh, Lincoln.
We love Abraham Lincoln on this show.
It's been a while since we talked about him.
I know. I still think about him every day.
I try to. I can't guarantee that I do, but
I'm for sure I can't guarantee that I do, but, you know, whatever.
It's an effort that we make nonetheless.
The very ending of that part was, while museum-led tours and talks will prove that not all horror stories need ghosts to be creepy. So technically, they don't have ghosts in this house specifically, like how they were talking about Clarissa in the other one and stuff like that. But it is still very creepy. And the fact that two attempted murders happened there, definitely a site for people who love true crime to go look at it.
Terrifying.
I know, right? This one is also very pretty. This next one and our last one. I'll make sure to post this picture as well. For our last one, this is the winery at Mearham Manor. Despite appearing the which one?
I said a winery, because I don't think we've had a winery.
I know, right? This is very different.
It is.
Despite appearing on both Travel Channel's Most Terrifying Places in America and Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters, this spot's gentle and kind owner insists that the spirits here are more of a Casper variety than vicious supernatural beings. This is good news for anyone hanging out in nearby areas. but looking for a chance to sip on a refreshing glass of wine. Take in the views of the lake and then go looking for spirits. So I guess, I mean, they do have spirits, but they're just nice. I guess that's a good one to end on, a like a good note, you know, like,
yeah, like a nice note.
The original family built their farm there in 1834. Ooh. And so don't be alarmed if you feel something brushed up against your leg. That's likely the ghost dog who also runs with this otherworldly crew.
Aww. I know, so, whenever I die, I'm going to want my kitties to be a ghost with me.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever... Well, to be fair, I've only had, like...
They're immortal, so...
Yeah. I don't know. I was trying to think of, like, I don't think I've ever seen a ghost that is an animal. But then again, I've only had, like, a couple of ghost encounters, so...
Yeah.
I thought it's harder.
No, I bet that's, like, super rare to have a ghost animal. They have to have really been close to their owners to want to come back in the afterlife and still be with them.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Me making myself sad over a ghost dog.
Honestly, same. It's sad.
It is.
But yeah, those are a handful of places that you can find in New York that are spooky or, you know, true crime related. And if we're ever in that area, I say we need to go to at least one of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
I definitely want to visit the theater the most, for sure.
I mean, we could go to a show in the theater.
That would be very cool, actually.
Yeah.
And then just hear, like, random noises and stuff.
Then the lights go out. You're just like, oh, it's Oscar. He's here.
Right? I'll be like, oh, there he is.
Found him.
Alrighty. Well, I guess that's it for my episode today. Like I said, it is from timeout.com. Y'all can go back and look at a couple of other ones that we didn't go over just because, I mean, they're kind of the same concept, you know, spooky asylums and stuff. But, yeah, we're very excited to be back and hopefully back on a good schedule. Happy New Year, everyone. You can follow us on Instagram at
Horror Slumber Party Podcast.
And Twitter.
Party_horror.
And, of course, you can email us at
horrorslumberparty@gmail.com.
You can give us your input and let us know if you want to hear a specific story or you have your own ghost encounters and you would like to tell them. We'll tell them for you and give you credit, because that would be really fun.
I'd love to have, like, listener stories, yeah.
Right? That would be so, so entertaining. So if y'all have any sort of ghost encounter, let us know.
Please.
And, of course, we have our Patreon that we mentioned earlier in the episode, and we're going to be working harder on it. That way, you know, it's more fun for everyone.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, we love y'all so much, and welcome to season 2 of A Horror Slumber Party. Good night and scary dreams.
Bye.